guys. Yeah, well, just to keep track of time in, please, when it gets to be 10 minutes, I'm going to do my best to time myself, but please feel free to cut me off. But anyway, I'm just going to talk about a program that was adopted actually from Buncombe County in Asheville, North Carolina. And it's a voluntary program that it's a physician-led program in Wichita. And in essence, I've done a claims analysis on this, but it's just descriptive. It's going to describe the diseases of the uninsured population that uses this program and look at the donated services and also look at the healthcare patterns of the population. So, Wichita, you know, Kansas, we pride ourselves in being pioneers, being independent, and there's not a huge amount of collaboration overall. But this has been one of the most fantastic experiences of my career. The program is 10 years old. They just celebrated their anniversary this year. But what it does is it's a referral program, if you will, that connects low-income, uninsured folk to donated medical care services, both physicians, the hospitals, the city and the county provide about $500,000 a year to purchase prescriptions. There are donated, they access also, you know, like the pharmaceutical programs as well. But it's worked very well in terms of being able to connect people to additional social services within the community. And actually our SRS, which is like our state social service department, have actually relocated to our low-income clinic system in town, and they actually support enrollment. So this gives you a brief picture of the characteristics, the different data sets. They actually have developed and utilized this Charisma Cellus software, which collects all of the demographics. We also do SFA health status survey, and then you could look at the number over the period of the program that I evaluated. There were over 100,000 claims for physician offices submitted, and you can see the number of clients. So as we go through, it's a little bit confusing because when you work with claims data, some people had inpatients, some people had outpatients, some had physician office visits only. So nothing ever, there's a different denominator all the time. So if things look like they don't quite add up, they don't. But you can see the population, they have between 700 and 950 patients every year. They, over the 10-year period, they've had, it's been pretty much female. They're older, middle-aged women, unmarried, English-speaking, predominantly white, but because the population of Sedgwick County, it's about 75% Caucasian, and the remainder of our community are Asian, African-American, Native American. They're less educated, they are working, but they're in jobs that do not have insurance, and of course the predominant number are, they come in through the clinics, and for the most part their disability, it was designed originally to be a 3-month program, but we have found over the years that there is a certain number that are have chronic problems and re-enroll. So looking at, for the most part, almost nearly over 90% were enrolled for 1 year or less, with the majority about 3 months, and then the next group being approximately 6 to 7 months. But many times, if there's another way to get folks enrolled into another program that's available, the Project Access staff work to do that. So you can see this just gives you a sense of what's the distribution of services that the physicians are donating. So you can see radiology, internal medicine, surgery, family practice. Some people come in just for surgery, for one problem. Other physicians actually enroll. If they have patients that they know have needs, they will enroll them into the program. So you can see the signs and symptoms, ill-defined conditions. As an old ER nurse, that's where you put everybody who doesn't have like a real straightforward diagnosis. It could be malaise, could be dizziness, could be nausea. It's when they can't link it back to a disease process. But you can see cancer, diseases of the musculoskeletal system, circulatory. I cut this by volume and also looked at this by most costly, and naturally the cancer treatment has consistently come up as one of the most expensive diagnostic categories. So when you look at office is the yellow, hospital is the orange, you can see the representation of the diseases by setting. So not many surprises here. These, of course, more numerous, but this was one of the least costly categories. When you look at service provision by year, you get a sense of the median is really far more representative of the overall costs of the population, which really has been useful in terms of guiding the program and also in terms of recruitment of our physician communities. And I should really emphasize, this is charge information, not cost information. But another way I cut the data was to look at the number of patients who received services in one or more years. So you can see the vast majority, you know, in and out in 1 year, and I'll go more into this little pocket of patients towards the end of the presentation. But you can see that it makes total sense that the more years you're in the program, the more charges you have. So this, when you start out, I just looked at all of the claims overall, and then went through the process of moving, rather than being stacked vertically, I moved all of the data to one line of information for each patient. So you can see that, you know, actually, the physician office claims, it's not as expensive as one would think. It is the outlier patients that really, really rake up the costs to the point where the program is now looking at a way to identify these patients. Oh no, I think I've nearly run my course. But I included one of these box plots so that you can really see coming up with a system to identify these folks up here. About 1% of the enrollees consume 25% of overall donated charges. So we're trying to get a handle on that. Out of those, they complete SF8s voluntarily. And so we had pre and posts on about 700, nearly 800 clients. And so you can see the physical health status does improve. This was it's a statistically significant improvement, but you can see their mental health. And it really doesn't provide much in the way of mental health services, largely because we do not have that community of physicians who are volunteering. But what I think is really outstanding, you know, noteworthy is their health status is still substantially lower than the U.S. population norms for the SF8. And, you know, I thought I'd throw in a slide to show you, we really have had consistently about 65% of our medical community in Sedgwick County does volunteer and has taken patients nearly every year. So then I tried to pull this down and look at, you know, if you go to NCHS, pull down some of the hospital and ambulatory services report, you can see that still substantially, you look at the the U.S. rate is about 3 to 4 times higher for the general U.S. population. Those of us who have insurance, we are consuming about 3 or 4 times more. For the inpatient discharges, you can see still quite a bit lower, 228 versus more than 1,000 visits, so substantially lower. And I also looked at length of stay by disease status and kind of looked to see which of these diagnostic groupings have longer length of stay. And it was it varied substantially. That's a good way to say that, isn't it? So since September 1st, 1999, nearly 9,000, we're getting there. About 579 physicians actually take patients. Some choose to volunteer in the low-income clinics, and you can see overall a substantial amount of money has been donated, but it makes you wonder what would happen to these folks if they were not able to enroll in the program. The guidelines are 150% of poverty, follow the guidelines, and you can't have insurance. So those are the only guidelines for enrollment. So when you look in terms of, again, this information has been really helpful in continuing to keep the physician community engaged. We're actually, the community is now looking at trying to create an insurance product. We decided not to wait on Washington to get this going. So we're looking at how can we get the small businesses pooled so they can actually afford to do an insurance product. So, and again, looking at this case management system, that is where Project Access is right now. And they will use predominantly social services, but they also have nursing staff. So, if you want lots and lots of information, is on the website. Ann Nelson is a fabulous person and is very generous with her time. If you would like any additional information, she would be more than happy to share that with you. So, I think I'll stop right there. Anybody questions? Yes, ma'am.
So I just started a Project Access in San Diego County.
Yay, way to go, way to go.
So I'm just wondering with the claims, mm-hmm. Do you use the physician reported charges as if it was
yes.
a cash patient on the HCSA, or do you use Medicare rates? Or
no, actually the physicians send them in, or the hospital send it in. So you're looking, it's kind of like shooting with a shattered gun. It's not very exact, but yeah, they submit their claims just like they would if they sent it to Medicare or whatever, and the Project Access staff enter that information. In fact, I think they've got software now that will scan that information up. When we first started, it was very, very messy because everything came in 3 separate files, and you went through the process of trying to match everything back up. It's gotten a lot easier over the 10 years, believe me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a ballpark. Yes, ma'am.
How do you get so many physicians to participate in the program?
Because it is physician-led, and we had a couple of physician leaders in the community who were instrumental in recruiting and also keeping. Some physicians, if they have a bad experience, you know, this population does not always have the best, they don't keep appointments, they don't show up, they don't do what they're supposed to do. When those physicians may opt to drop out. There's been a number of growing pains as well. I mean, we used to even have illegal residents in the program, but one of the physicians had a really bad a patient, came, got services, went back to Mexico, didn't take the right medications, died. And so that it was it was a community decision at that point. So that would be one of the other restrictions that we have in place, is that you have to be a resident of Sedgwick County. So I probably, I should
no,
stop talking.
According to my watch, you have 1 minute.
Yeah,
should I start early?
How do you get disenrolled? What's the criteria?
Well, generally you're enrolled for 3 months.
Oh, so
yeah.
I see you only enrolled for 3 months.
Yes,
so I think
yes.
There's a health problem there.
Right, and really, it's that's why I think you see so much surgical or short range.
It's really an on-demand fracture.
Pardon me?
It's an on-demand type of fracture.
If you will, yes. But there are a substantial number of patients. Actually, I'm, you know, the clinical classification system, CDC has that out. I just noticed this last time I was on there, they have a chronic disease that I'm getting ready to apply. So we can figure out, you know, really what number of clients in the pool really do have the chronic diseases.
Okay, good.
Oh. Can I ask a question real quickly? What was your average percentage of uncompensated or pro bono care that your physicians did prior to enrolling in the program? You know, like how much
I'm sure it's about the same. It's just that this program captures that information. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're not taking on extra uninsured people that they weren't already seeing.
They are.
Yeah, but how did that change? What was that? Like, what percentage of their patient practice were
Writing
that off?
I wouldn't know that.
Now.
I don't have that information available to me. But it's a great question.
Did you live in San Diego?
My experience when I would approach a physician's